The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158. Any which way you take us in, we appreciate it on this Wednesday of Wildcard Weekend. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the house here at Circa.
Good morning.
You good?
I'm great. Beautiful Wednesday morning in Las Vegas.
It is. Beautiful Wednesday morning. Will Hill will join us momentarily, give all his plays. Talk college football semis, obviously wild card weekend in the NFL, whatever else he's betting. Greg Peterson on college hoops. Bet his Michigan wins yesterday, but survived against Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly.
Yeah. Yeah, what, they win by two?
Won by two.
Whew.
Survived a three at the end, I believe.
Let me check. Did not cover.
Did not cover. Yeah, just shy of
just
covering
shy.
of the 20 and a half, which we had it at. It got up to 24. By tip-off. Oh, Aaron Schatz joins them. I'm burying the headline with apologies to Greg and Will. Aaron Schatz with his annual appearance this hour. He comes to us quarterly here on A Numbers Game. He also does the Megapod once a year. But he comes to us quarterly on A Numbers Game to sort of give us a DVOA update, his thoughts on awards. This is his final one of the year, which is always the post-regular season pre-playoffs. Here's what was the historical DVOAs on these teams. Here's what I think about the awards, or at least what he's willing to share about what he thinks about the awards. Again, he represents 2% of the entire voting body with all these. The guy who famously, Kelly, when you, me, and Matt Brown went out to dinner with Aaron Schatz.
We'll never forget.
We'll never forget it. They announced that Lamar Jackson had won the MVP. So this is 2 years ago. We announced that he had won the MVP, one vote shy of unanimous. And Aaron was the guy who did not vote for him. And then last year, he was the guy that voted for Lamar, and no one else did. Well, not no one else, but he didn't end up winning.
You could easily make the argument that Schatz had it right those 2 years,
yes.
And everybody else had it wrong.
Correct. A little later, Nick Whalen will join us. Win Total Wednesdays. Warren Sharp will join us. Wishnev's out today because Wishnev is sick, so we can't have Wishnev today.
Get better, Todd. That's not good to hear.
Yeah, because he runs himself into the ground betting college hoops.
You know the part, like, I don't want to circle back to this dinner. I probably don't want to talk it too much with Aaron because he was, but it. I think people need to know this, right? Like, some of these voters, like, we were thrilled to hear when Aaron Schatz became a voter and started as a voter because we knew that some of his numbers and analytics were going to be worked into his vote. Seeing how much he cared that night, though, like, as someone who bets on these things, was meaningful. I will put it that way. But, like, I mean, he was, he was obviously in a weird space when he was the only person right on that side. But seeing how much that these guys should care as much as Aaron Schatz did, that makes me feel better when I go to bet these things. Because how many times do we throw our arms up and we're just like, betting awards, what are we thinking sometimes?
We lost him for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
He was still at the table, but he was lost in thought. But that was more about he knew the backlash that
right.
was going to come. He was correct. We then, remember, we were owned by DraftKings at the time. We did the Radio Row for the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He joined us a couple days later at Radio Row and talked about the online hate that he received for this, right? This is just a guy who's into analytics,
yep.
Nerdy guy, right, who's just pioneering football analytics, made his vote based on his conscience, and in the end, he knew it was coming. It came, and he just took it like a man. He was like, doesn't mean I didn't do it for all the right reasons.
All the right reasons.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm just like, whenever I think about that, let's compare it to the 983 people who vote on the Heisman I know firsthand some don't even care about.
Really.
It's like, let me just send it in. Let me just get it in.
All right, so we'll talk to Aaron a little later on. The biggest news, of course, in football happened after the show yesterday when the Baltimore Ravens fired John Harbaugh after 18 years. 18 years. One Super Bowl title in 18 years. I believe that's what Kanye said back in the day. John Harbaugh, who had gotten 6 division titles and that one Super Bowl title in the Harbowl, if you will,
mm-hmm.
in 2012 against his brother Jim and the 49ers, where Joe Flacco was the quarterback for the Ravens, let go. And part of the scuttlebutt afterwards. Can we say scuttlebutt? Is that
allowed? Yeah.
Was that he lost the locker room. Not only lost Lamar Jackson, but lost the locker room. Read into that what you will. That's a very vague sort of catch-all. We had talked about during the season that there were some rumors about Lamar falling asleep during meetings. I don't know if that's part and parcel with it as well. But anyway, they decided, Steve Bisciotti, the Ravens owner, decided this, and it was time after a few consecutive disappointments, right? The Zay Flowers fumble, the Mark Andrews drop, and then the Tyler Loop miss to not even make the postseason here against the Steelers. You see that graphic? I think Trey Wingo posted this. I'm not sure if he made the graphic, but he posted this. It was the goalposts in the Baltimore-Pittsburgh game, right? The back shot from the other side of the field, as we always see field goals. And in between the goalposts, it said Mike Tomlin fired. And on each side of the goalpost, it said yeah. John Harbaugh fired. Yeah, yeah. Which is to say that if that kick goes in, maybe it's Tomlin who goes and not Harbaugh. But anyway, that's how it is. And you can bet on who the Ravens' next head coach will be at Kalshi. Jesse Minter is your short shot at plus 177. Thank you, Kelly, for putting these in sports fan mode.
Sports
language.
Fan mode. Kelly and I were just laughing about
that's
that. How,
that's what Kalshi calls it, sports fan mode, because usually just percentages, right?
I swear when I changed my settings 5 days ago, it was not called that. It was just like American odds. I'm pretty sure it was. Now it says sports fan mode.
Sports fan mode.
Because there's some trader there at Robinhood just laughing at us.
Oh, totally.
Sports losers betting on this
you
stuff.
Losers.
Just scoop up money.
Think you're going to win. Well, on this stuff, you can. I bet Brian Flores yesterday. Brian Flores is 3-1. Cliff Kingsbury, ousted Washington offensive coordinator, former Washington offensive coordinator as of yesterday, plus 733. Then you see Stefanski and Kubiak, who are rumored almost on all these jobs, just over 8-1. Chris Shula's name has been bantied about. He's 9-1. Robert Saleh, also in the mix at 10-1. And here's the thing again with these prediction markets like Kalshi. These are a reflection of the actual bets that have been made. This is not some bookmaker, right? This is the difference. This is not some bookmaker making book, being an odds maker, nothing like that. This is the actual reflection of the bets that have been made. So my Brian Flores in percentage has gone from 17% to 23%. I have no inside information on this. I have no idea if Brian Flores is going to be the next head coach of the Baltimore Ravens. It just makes a whole lot of sense to me.
I punched this up. I didn't even realize you made the bet. What number did you get?
I got, at 17%. So I'm somewhere in between 4 and 5 to 1 on mine. Again, that's what brought up the question. I'm like, how do I convert this to my actual plus?
It's easier, man.
Sports fan mode is what I do,
sports
apparently.
Sports fan mode.
So there it is. So I have no sense of this. I don't know. Maybe they want to go Jesse Minter. Maybe they want to, again, Jesse Minter, who was with Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. Maybe they want to distance themselves again. Poor Jesse Minter is getting distanced if he doesn't get this right from two jobs now, Michigan, the other one. So I don't know. We'll see. I just want to bring up one
thing. The Minter one. I think Flores. I hope Flores gets a job. I'm going to leave it as that. I would think he gets a job. Who knows with the stuff that he's going on with the NFL?
He ought to get a job.
He ought to get a job.
Yeah.
I think he could make a lot of sense here, right? You, Danny, and I were kind of texting about this yesterday. Like, the whole John Harbaugh thing, just on the surface, too. It's probably best for both sides. I kind of have a feeling at the end of the day it's John Harbaugh getting the last laugh somewhere else, but
John Harbaugh, according to John Harbaugh's agent, was contacted within 45 minutes of this news breaking yesterday. Within 45
surprised.
Minutes, according to his agent, he was contacted by 7 different teams. Now, you will note that if you count the number of openings that exist, there are 7, and one of them is the Ravens. So if you are to believe John Harbaugh's agent, and you know agents never lie about anything, then some team that currently has a head coach also contacted
him. I heard Rich Eisen talking about this yesterday.
According to Adam Schefter, by the way.
Not Rich Eisen. This is Colin Coward who was talking about this with, giving Colin Coward a couple-minute commentary, right? It's the sports talk. What's the one team who can't lose wild card round? The Buffalo Bills, and he was basically just going, everything we've brought up. Josh Allen doesn't have to face.
Oh, good call.
Doesn't have to go through the AFC with Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, right? He's the one team that cannot lose. So he was bringing up what happens if they do. Is McDermott on the hot seat, right? Yeah. I don't know that he should be. I don't know if that fully translates to me, but I can understand that why some people would think that. Real quick, just to wrap this up. Look, I love Flores. Minter feels like he would make a lot of sense, right? I mean, he has been awesome for the Chargers in that defense that you talked about.
Any defensive-minded coach would want this job.
And he's been, I mean, he's been connected to Baltimore, the Harbaughs. I mean, I guess really just, I don't know how the brothers have this conversation sometimes, right? Like, it's... to John and Jim, John not want Minter to take the job he was just at, and Jim has any influence on that?
I don't get the sense that those two talk every day.
Who knows?
I just want to mention this one last thing before we move on from this, get to Will. So my little buddy Owen, Owen Wright, right? He was on the practice squad with the Ravens. And one story he told me sticks out in my brain, which is he would always say, now, again, the Ravens won one Super Bowl in 18 years under Harbaugh. A lot of disappointment since that Super Bowl, with a lot of expectation, right?
Yeah.
That's the real rub. He would always say, in his couple years there, he would say, it's amazing how when we get players in from other teams, that the common thread with those other players is, what are we doing practicing so much and so hard? This is in training camp, right? This is in the offseason, before the season even starts. The common complaint of players that have experienced other organizations was, this guy is Meshuggah. Like, John Harbaugh is killing us out here in August. And I was struck by that story. And it then, what follows after the comma from then is, maybe, does that contribute to late season disappointment?
Who knows?
I mean, again, it's a fumble by Zay. It's a drop by Andrews. It's a missed field goal. So you can really distill it to that one thing. But after all those years of not getting to the promised land, I do wonder if the Ravens are more gassed than other teams towards the end of the season. I don't know. Just an inside story for you on that. Will Hill on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, don't forget to check out while you're listening. Maybe after you're listening. I don't know. Maybe you want to do it simultaneously. VSiN.com, where, of course, everything is going on as well in real time. Greg Peterson's college basketball best bet. Steve Mackinnon's college football playoff semis analytics report. Giants and Raiders new head coaching odds. And coming up today, Tyler Shoemaker's men's and women's college basketball projections, picks, Zachary Cohen's NBA best bets, and Jonathan Davis's NHL picks and props. Sign up for as little as $9.99 to get access to all pro articles at vsin.com/subscribe. Did you see the Tyler Shoemaker tweet yesterday where he got a bajillion
No.
Oh, yeah. You know,
I was wondering why you chuckled during the live read.
Because he was very clever. It's one of those tweets where you're like, I wish I was as clever to have done that. You remember when Nate Bargatze was on Saturday Night Live as the host?
No.
Okay. Most people don't watch Saturday Night Live, but most people, if you know one sketch from this year, you probably know this sketch because it was actually brilliant.
Okay.
Where he's playing George Washington, and they're like resting one night during one of their battles, or we're traveling to a battle, and it's a whole thing about how ridiculous all the contradictions are of common American life.
Yeah.
And then there's a racist component in there. It's an amazingly brilliant sketch. But Tyler Shoemaker's tweet was, it'll be called college football. The games will be primarily on Saturdays, so the sport can be properly observed when most people are off work that day and the next. And then, of course, his guys ask him, even the semifinals and championships, sir? He goes, of course not. The semifinals will be Thursday and Friday, while the championship will be on Monday. So true.
Oh, man.
So good job by Tyler.
I don't know what happened. I don't want to keep Will waiting anymore. But, like, I don't know what we used to – I feel like when I grew up, right? Like, not that long ago, there was such the football rules, right? It's like – we all observe, and we will stay away from Fridays for high school football.
That's
and
right.
Everything will revolve around that. Saturday will be just college, and then we'll do the pro on Sunday, and then everybody figured out they could start making way more money.
Well, you know what Todd would say? The Chazers.
Mm.
They're pigs. Yeah.
It does feel
NFL,
a little,
doesn't care.
It does feel a little weird we don't have one of these games on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, the NFL, doubleheader. Will Hill joins us. By the way, the NFL being a doubleheader on Saturday then seems weird by, it's like, oh, the three are on Sunday kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Will Hill joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, at not the, with two E's, not the Will Hill. He is the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast and, of course, also star of the Megapod, writes for FoxSports.com each and every week. Will, what's happening, man?
Boys, what's going on? Yeah, I'm with you guys. I think if we're going to add some scheduling complaints, I actually don't like the Monday wild card game in the NFL. I preferred the first year they did this, it was a triple header Saturday, triple header Sunday. Yes. If I got the final say, I still think that Monday wild card game is a little weird. I'd prefer the three Saturday, three Sunday, but nobody has yet to ask me.
Well, maybe perhaps I'll ask you later today.
Not called Super Wild Card Weekend.
Oh, remember
they
that?
Did drop that because we all made fun of it too much.
Super Wild
Card. Just back to Wild Card.
That's right. About Super Wild Card Weekend, the Megapod is tomorrow. Care to share one pick here today that you like?
Yeah, I can. I've got a few I like. The best one, boy, the one I like the most, I know it's super square. How do the Rams, after losing to the Panthers already, the Panthers are not going to catch them by surprise. How do they not win this game like 34-10? I've watched more of the Panthers than I care to admit over the last month or so, for whatever reason, just happened to catch a lot of their games. I know the Rams haven't exactly been in great form, but to me, the Rams will come in here focused. Maybe they get Adams back. I'm okay laying. Wow, we're up to 11. I mean, I hate laying any points in the NFL, but I think the Rams absolutely roll in this game.
Wow. Okay. Look, am I going to be surprised if the Rams crush them? I won't be, but that is, boy, that's a lot of points, huh? A lot of points on the road against the Panthers team that beat the Rams earlier this season. Anything else besides that one?
I like the Chargers getting the 3.5.
Yes.
I think that, I mean, we've talked about them before. You got a coach, you got a quarterback, you got a defense, and their one Achilles heel is the offensive line. But look at the Patriots, 26th in the league in sacks, and that's with a lot of game states where they're ahead and they can rush the passer. So that doesn't really exploit the Achilles heel of the Chargers. So at some point here, Herbert's going to have to win one of these playoff games. I know 0-2, he had the bad loss to Jacksonville where they blew the lead. He was awful last year against the Texans, but these things have a way of evening out at some point here. I'm going to, like, not that he's going to be Peyton Manning, but Peyton Manning went the first, 5 or 6 years of his career without winning a playoff game. I think Herbert and Harbaugh get this one. I like the 3.5. I think the hook there is the key, but I actually think the Chargers win the game, and I still don't totally buy in the Patriots. I know they've been dominant, but they've beaten one team that is still alive. They beat the Bills back in early October. Other than that, I mean, it seems like they play the Jets or the Colorado Rockies every single week. It's just incredible the schedule they've played. So I like the Chargers getting the points there.
Yeah, we showed that graph that Cleve TA put up on Twitter. We showed it yesterday on the show. For those who missed it, the point of the chart was, what is the percentage of snaps that these playoff teams or all teams, all 32 teams, have faced against backup quarterbacks and quarterbacks ranked 30th in EPA or worst, EPA per play or worst? And the Patriots by far had faced the most opposing quarterbacks, 61% of snaps against that category of quarterbacks, either backups or the worst of the worst in the league. Jaguars were right behind them. Bears were third. So three playoff teams back to back to back at top, but the Patriots and Jaguars really being the ones that have gotten the best of it. Contrarily, your Vikings, by the way, and this really is just a great resume item for Brian Flores, faced the fewest percentage of snaps with the worst quarterbacks, right? They had to really face stiff competition, or at least legit competition, the most of any team. But of the playoff teams, it's the Panthers, the Eagles, and these Chargers who have faced the fewest percentage of those snaps versus backups, so 30th plus EPA per snap. It's something.
Yeah, and I think it's a Dr. Bob subset. I don't know the numbers. It's either Dr. Bob or Fez, or maybe they collaborated on it. I'm not sure. You'll have to ask them. But there's some pretty strong stuff about whoever plays the tougher schedule does pretty well in the wild card weekend. There's a strong correlation with that over the years between strength of schedule and doing well on wild card weekend. And that would lend you to a Chargers pick if you prescribe to that. And by the way, leave my defensive coordinator alone. Can I have something? I've never seen them in a Super Bowl, never seen them win a Super Bowl. Let me have my defensive coordinator. Stop trying to give Flores all these jobs. It's ridiculous.
Check on that. Can Will have something? Check.
No,
on
you're not allowed,
no,
Will.
No.
You've had the best.
We're told no.
You've had arguably the best coaching staff for a few years now. Sorry, got to break them up.
Although you're not a KOC guy, are you?
I think it's more Flores. I think I think O'Connell's a little overrated. I think Flores is outstanding.
All right, let's go to college football. The semifinals are here. Tomorrow night, anyway, they're here. The first, again, of this five-day stretch of college football tomorrow night, Friday night as well, and then it's the doubleheader in the NFL Saturday, the tripleheader on Sunday, then the stray wildcard game on Monday. It is Miami and Ole Miss to kick things off tomorrow night, 7:30 Eastern, in the first of the national semis. Miami has got here as an underdog into the playoffs, according to prediction markets, in terms of them being allowed in. Some of us did well on that. They're 3.5-point favorites versus Ole Miss. These are the two teams that took down the behemoths, right? Alabama and Ohio State. Georgia and Ohio State, pardon me. Miami, -3.5, 52.5. How do you see this?
Yeah, just like a month ago, we were sitting here, and I gave out Miami +650 to make the playoffs. Then I had them against A&M, and I had them against Ohio State. All to win the games. I'm a little more nervous about this game just because Ole Miss has a quarterback that can play under pressure. He gets the ball out of his hands quickly. And Ole Miss plays up-tempo. These are all things Ohio State didn't do. Ohio State had a sitting duck at quarterback. They played slow. They let Reuben Bain and those monster defensive linemen, and those guys are outstanding, catch their breath and just keep coming after the passer. I'm worried Ole Miss can tire him out. I like Ole Miss +3.5. I mean, I would love Miami just win the game by a field goal. That would be nice for some Miami futures in the middle. But I think Ole Miss getting the 3.5 is the right side. I love this Final Four, by the way, in a
so
sport
great.
That's been, you know, you could call it repetitive, predictable. How many years was it? It's Alabama, it's Clemson, it's Ohio State, it's Georgia. You get a random LSU year, but you just rotate these three or four teams. Now it's just fresh blood. Oregon hasn't been here in forever. Miami, all these teams, Ole Miss, Indiana, it is very refreshing. As far as the other game, I think Oregon's live too. I like both dogs. A lot of the film guys will say that Indiana's defense is very complex and that the first time you see it, it's going to drive you crazy. Dante Moore only put up 13 points and threw a pick six. I think the second time around, he might be a little more comfortable here. So I will take Oregon getting the points. But these should both be awesome games, and would not be surprised if any of the four teams were holding up the trophy here in a couple weeks.
By the way, biggest story in college football yesterday, and is potentially like an explosive story. I'm curious your thoughts on this. This is a little more sports talky, but Washington quarterback Damon Williams Jr., who, by the way, is awesome at football, said on social media Tuesday night he's entering the transfer portal, a move that comes just days after he agreed to return to the Huskies for the 2026 season. He had signed a contract to return to UW last week, with Pete Thamel over at ESPN saying the deal was near the top of the market. Washington prepared to pursue all legal avenues to enforce Williams' signed contract. What a mess.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, obviously. How can they make him play, though? I don't know where this goes. And, you know, to your point, Sorsby, the kid who was playing at Cincinnati, got signed for $5 million at Texas Tech. $5 million. Bo Nix is the quarterback of the one seed. He makes $4.5 million. It's just, it's completely out of control. It is a total mess of a sport right now.
You know, you're supposed to go to college to learn life lessons, and signing a contract and holding to it is probably a good life lesson. We'll see if our colleges can actually hold them to it. Guessing not. Will, thank you. Appreciate it.
See you guys. Thanks.
Will Hill, everybody. Should have bet more podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. NFL Awards, Heat Check next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. And right now, when you spend $129, you can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings plus 50% off-site wide at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Don't wait. Spend $129. Get 2 pounds of wings and save 50% site-wide on steaks and more at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. That's omahasteaks.com/VSiN. Minimum purchase required. See site for details. Omaha. Omaha, as Peyton Manning used to say. Mm-hmm. We get tweets. Beat of the book. Y'all are the best. I stand by it. Best listeners in the game. This is from last night, actually, this first one. It's from, I want to get this correct. Where is it? Carl. Carl Witak, who says, does this stat for wildcard weekend still hold true? The spread doesn't come into play for 80% of the games. Was it 88%? Yes, what you're getting at is, for years and years and years, I talked about this stat that in regular season games, going back to 1978, 83% of the time, right, regular season games, 83% of the time, the spread doesn't matter, which is to say the underdog wins outright or the favorite covers. So only 17% of the time does the favorite win but not cover, in other words. which, by the way, sounds like a small amount, but it's really not. It's not a negligible amount, 17%. But yes, to your point, Carl, that the wild card weekend historically, but I did this before this last format of it, was 88%. Wild card weekend was the one where the spread mattered the least of any weekend in the NFL. Don't know if that's held true the last couple years. Should be easy enough to check on that. Lance Schaefer says, everyone hates on Nagy as a coaching candidate, but he was a double doink away from a playoff win with Mitch Trubisky as his quarterback. The kicker also missed a walk-off at Miami that same year. Bears would have had a first-round bye. I'm not saying he's great, but he isn't a turd, he says. There you go. There's a little vote of confidence. Hey, listen, he's not a turd. Are we allowed to say that already?
Yeah.
Ray in Texas.
I disagree. Kind of think he's a turd, but yeah.
You kind of think he is turd-like.
It is amazing, though, some of these coaches, like the... So what have the Giants... Giants already have talked with Mike McCarthy, Kevin Stefanski next. It's just so many recycles, man. Like, Stefanski deserves it. Does Mike McCarthy...
Are they bringing in Gene Shue and Kevin Lockery and Del Harris also?
Okay, like, Stefanski might be different, right? Like, how are you supposed to... You really getting a fan base excited for Mike McCarthy or Matt Nagy?
Bro. Ray in Texas. With the United States essentially buying Greenland, he says, I'm over here wondering what the odds are for the next NFL franchise that'll be placed in Nuuk. Is it Nuuk? N-U-U-K? Is that how you pronounce it? Any thoughts? Greenland glaciers, Greenland ice cap, Greenland cold as hell? Drifting into the political.
Well, going back to D2, Mighty Ducks 2.
Yeah.
I remember a quote from it that the green is the one with ice and ice is the one with green.
Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Greenland and Iceland. That's all I got for you.
Educational hacks with Kelly Bidlin. Yep. The podcast coming to you.
Political takes, too.
That's right.
As long as they can all be tied back to a Mighty Ducks film.
Chili Gambler. From yesterday, Pete Futak's urban foot description of the aroma of his hotel seems more of a haunting bouquet than the delightful Barolo Drew was describing. Kelly's idea of tennis and wine podcast is something the world needs. Please do it. I don't know if he's telling me to do it or for... Drew to do it. Draco May. Oh, do you see this? Everybody's sending out this. Do you see this footage of this tennis tournament, this low-level tennis tournament in Nairobi?
Oh, I saw Nigel tweet it, right?
Some girl got a wild card. A lot of people tweeted it. Nigel was one of them, I guess. Oh, some girl got a wild card that was clearly paid for. She could barely play tennis. It's unbelievable. Jason Stark. Oh, great. Jason Stark, not a fan of Aaron Schatz, is coming up. He goes, oh, great. We have to listen to Aaron tell us how great the Ravens are when they sucked as usual on a numbers game today. Best team ever to fire their head coach, he says, unquote. I don't think that's going to come up. Tim Bowers, you might be a numbers game listener if after week 18 you turn your sights to college basketball futures and compare those odds to the traits of champions you remember from a numbers game and take a shot on Florida at 30-1, who meet all but one but are close enough to qualify. I love that. Sam Ginsberg, remember that a couple years back, Mike Tomlin hired Flores when the Miami stuff had just started. So Baltimore might want Flores more, has Steeler knowledge or less feel. Flores has Pittsburgh-Tomlin closeness. I don't understand the last part of that. Darrell Winningham, regarding Kanye, Gilly, you're paraphrasing the one song that makes 60-year-old white guys believe that they're into hip-hop. I ain't saying she's a gold digger. Daryl, you might be new around here, is what this... It's about the 5,000th hip-hop track I've ever quoted. But because it was 18 years for Harbaugh, I just felt the opening.
Yeah.
Uncle Bush, are there still lines up for faraway places for coordinator of the year? Wondering what the current odds are. Asking for a friend that has Flores 11-1. P.S. That friend is me. Remember, that was one of the weirdest things. So some of these books...
There's two markets I'm thinking of. Assistant coach of the year and protector of the year.
What's protector of
the year? Oh, yeah, protector of the year. Deion Dawkins got that to be an award. Like,
what?
Yeah. We looked at it at the beginning of the year.
So that was an awards market?
It was listed, yeah.
A betting market?
Yeah.
And then they disappear.
And they disappear and they don't repost.
And there's no sign of them. So people are worried that they won't get paid out on this stuff.
I think there's some offshore books that have been keeping them up, but I have not seen them anywhere here in the U.S.,
Mile marker 420. If there was ever a time for the phrase mutual decision, one would have thought it would have been the press release from the Ravens about Harbaugh. But to fire him, wow. After the Harbaugh firing, there are a lot of head coaching seats that at least got warm, if not hot. Harbaugh to Miami, South Beach?
It's a great tweet.
I know he's been rumored to go to the Giants, too. Who knows?
This is also like where you... This is where we go back to the mutual decision, though, right? Mutual decision, I never feel like it's a mutual decision, because I completely agree. If there was ever going to be one, it should be John Harbaugh with the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. awards heat check. And let me start this, Kelly, because our whole reason for doing this is, which do we think is done? Which do we think is still in
alive,
play?
Yeah.
But can I just, before we do that, and thank you to TomMass313 for alerting us to this. Sports Illustrated, the Monday morning quarterback column that Peter King used to do, is now just called the MMQB staff mm-hmm. article, did a straw poll for these awards. So straw poll on how these awards might shake down on this. It's a 10-person panel, so not obviously 50. These are 10 people. Albert Breer is on this among the names that you recognize, Andrew Brandt. So 10 people, mm-hmm. all from Sports Illustrated, not actual voters in all cases. But in their little straw poll, Matthew Stafford wins MVP, 48 points to 42 points. He gets 8 first. Matthew Stafford does. Drake May gets 2 firsts. Again, reflection or not, we don't know. Offensive player of the year, a dead heat tie between Christian McCaffrey and Jackson Smith and Jigba, with Bijan finishing 3rd and Nakua 5th. What are we doing?
Yeah, that is by far the most interesting one in this article.
Myles Garrett wins Defensive Player of the Year. No shocker there. Offensive Rookie of the Year does go to Teterow McMillan over Tyler Shuck, 49 points to 31 points.
And not really close.
Not really close. Igbuka, Tyler Warren, Jackson Dart in that order. Jackson Dart, by the way, ties with Cam Ward in this. Okay. Defensive Rookie of the Year goes to Schwesinger. Why do I have so much trouble saying that? Danny Higgins' boy, Nick Amonwori, finishes 6 points behind him. Oh, comeback player of the year does go to Christian McCaffrey over Aiden Hutchinson. And coach of the year goes to Mike Vrabel by 5 points over Mike McDonald. Oh, Liam Cohen in 3rd. Close vote. Anyway, read in that what you will. So, Kelly, the question is, which of those do we think, which do we feel is over, which do we feel is still in play? MVP. Still in play?
Yeah, let's start it up with MVP. All of our odds, courtesy today from Kalshi, as we expected, sportsbooks taking down awards. That's finally. Right. Mm-hmm. So minus 204 for Stafford. Drake May plus 156.
I think it's over. I think it's Stafford's. I really do. My hunch is that it's Stafford.
I hope you're right. I'm going to go with not done yet.
Okay.
I think it's going to be very close.
I agree with the JVT theory. We're going to look back at this and we're going to see it's not that close.
I hope so, man. I hope so. All right, offensive player of the year.
Definitely up for grabs.
JSN minus 1,900 at Kelce.
Again, we showed the stats last week and this week. Puka Nacua and Jackson Smith and Jigba stats are almost identical. There is no chance that these numbers reflect reality. I'm not saying Puka's going to win. Mm-hmm. There's no chance it's this far apart. It's not over to me.
I think JSN wins. I guess if... obviously, we're doing the done or not done. So I guess I'll go done since I have to pick one of those.
So your take on this is like my take on MVP.
But I think it's closer than the odds reflect. Yes.
I think MVP's done. You think offensive player of the mm-hmm. year is done. We're oppo on those.
All right. Defensive player of the year, Gil Alexandria.
Done. Next.
Really,
did you hear Myles Garrett broke the sack record?
We should have done who's going to go.
Did anybody publicize
who's going to finish second? That's what we really should have done all year.
Yeah.
All right. Offensive rookie of the year, Teterow McMillan, minus 1150.
I mean, I don't think it's that. I think it's way closer than this, but I guess he's going to win. I don't know. To me, this is not done at all.
Yeah. I'll go with not done too. Well, I do think he is likely to win. Man, this has to have been a tough conversation in your own mind if you're a voter out there. All right, coach of the year, Vrabel, minus 204. Our boy McDonald at Kelce down to plus 233.
It ain't over. Party's not over.
I don't think so either. I think Liam Cohen still might have a say in this. Or, you know, he won't have a say at all, but maybe others will have a say for him. I don't even know if Ben Johnson's out. I really don't.
Don't know. This one's definitely not over. And comeback player of the year is over.
Yeah, yeah.
Christian
comeback
McCaffrey.
Player of the year is over.
They'll give that one to McCaffrey. I think we did them all, didn't we? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. College basketball break with Greg Peterson on the other side, his Fab Five. And then we'll get to Aaron Schatz, his annual appearance here after the regular season, DVOA, and his awards thoughts as a voter. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game. Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on the Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, Gil Alexander, my little buddy Kelly Midland.
Heyo,
everybody. By the way, for you know, Kelly and I, we sip side by side, so I never get to really like stare at Kelly straight on. And finally, after the show yesterday, we were actually having a straight on conversation. Gazing deep into his eyes. And what did I say to Kelly? I go, I think you've lost enough weight.
You did.
I think no more.
Well, don't worry. Don't worry. It's not happening.
Okay. We get tweets of beating the book. Advice he didn't ask for. GV, New Jersey, New York. Regarding Harbaugh's intense training camps, that's a very common complaint about Belichick disciples when they become head coaches for the first time. Difference between when Bill did it compared to when the disciples did it is that Bill at the time was Bill. Does John have that cachet? Talking about my story about how players from other teams would come in there and be like, why are we practicing so much and so hard? What are we doing? We should be resting a little more. I owe you S69. Harbaugh had the ridiculous winning streak in the preseason, remember, as well. Oh, yeah. He goes, maybe in the end, winning in the preseason was his downfall. Doubtful, but maybe.
By the way, I mean, that tracks with your stories about camp.
Yes.
Ian Rappaport just coming out to Ravens looking for a head coach that will, quote, reach and invigorate Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. It pretty much seems like it came down to that, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. It's either him or me. Or him or him. And they decided who they had to get rid of. Mariners Geek, who I met the other day, who was out here after the show. Great meeting him. He says, John Harbaugh, this guy's Meshuggah, I said. He's quoting me. He goes, for the new viewers, a Yiddish slang word meaning crazy or nuts. Thank you. Edward Perez at Boomerizzle had a dream last night that Gil was hanging out at my house watching a bowl game. He was eating cake with fruity pebbles on top. Does this mean I'm listening to too much a Numbers Game, or is it safe to carry on? First of all, let me just tell you, your dream is ridiculous. It would have been cocoa pebbles. Let's get that straight. Edward, you're watching just the right amount. Who knows? Maybe I am at your house eating
fruity pebbles.
Cake
good too,
fruity
though.
Pebbles
man, now you're all going to make me go buy fruity pebbles or cocoa pebbles.
Is there anything better than cereal?
No, I love it. It's one of those things that it's problematic. I can't have it in the house. It's like chips.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a bag of chips.
That's
like
right.
If I'm going to buy a bag of chips, I got to buy the little individual ones because otherwise I'll just sit on the couch and eat away.
Trotsky, Gilly, from yesterday, Pete Futak's take on the SEC and how Mizzou, Vandy, and Tennessee all lost their bowl games is flawed logic. SEC teams don't take bowl games as seriously. Everyone playing versus the SEC wants to show they can compete. Top to bottom, still the best. I agree with you, Trotsky. I didn't want to be rude at the time. And then Uncle Bush points out the exact verbiage of that DraftKings market was assistant coach of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And his wager was placed September 30th on Brian Flores at 11-1. There you go. And then finally, Teddy Rack, I was always a give or take on Drew when he was on a Numbers Game. Now that I know he's a Duke guy, I'm all in on him. He likes the Duke aspect. And Brian Schaefer, my opinion is that Stafford and May, you could give the MVP to either of them, but I think the voters are going to give it to Stafford because of the stages of each of their careers. One is a season or two left, and the May, he says, has many left to get the award. Brian, I think your instincts are correct. I think that's how it's going to go. Greg Peterson will find out what his favorite cereal is and his favorite college basketball plays of the day. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, you can follow him on Twitter at GUnit_81. His tribute to Anquan Boldin, of all people. It's Greg Peterson, everybody. How you doing, Greg?
I'm doing great. And by the way, when it comes to cereals, no need for the pebbles or anything like that. Reese's Puffs. I am a Reese's Puffs man right here. Grew up on it, and that's why I'm here today. The Breakfast of Champions.
Wow. I grew up on Frosted Flakes, and let me just say this. I'll go a couple years as an adult without having them, and then I'll just be like, I really
want the chocolate Frosted Flakes.
Oh, no. Classic Flakes. I don't need to chocolate them up, Greg. Just the classic. That's all I need.
Greg, I'm rarely here to argue with you, but the Reese's, the Captain Crunch peanut butter.
Wow.
That's the one. Have you ever had that?
The Crave cereal. They didn't have it when I was a real, real little kid, but that stuff is good.
I don't know
that one. Stuff is good. By the way, as Kellogg's and Post and all of them would remind us, and good for you too.
That's right. Part of a balanced breakfast.
That's right. Part of a balanced browser line. Part of a balanced breakfast. You got a balance on the other side is what they mean. Greg, let's get to some college hoops. Last night, let's go through like four results here. Michigan, we talked about Michigan yesterday on the show, the juggernaut that they are. They end up just barely getting by Penn State, 74-72. They win, but don't even come close to covering. So they stay with their undefeated season. Duke down 9 at the half to Louisville, stormed back to win 84-73. That was a huge second half display by Duke. Houston, number 7, Houston beats number 14, Texas Tech, 69-65, and number 22, Kansas. They beat TCU, for those who missed this, 104-100 in OT, and Darren Peterson dropped 32 in their face. Which of those four outcomes is the most meaningful to you?
By the way, having plenty of Peterson, part of a balanced college basketball segment.
That's right.
That said, I feel like the most stunning result was the fact that Michigan got taken to the wire by Penn State. And I truthfully took the points with Penn State, so that was a no-sweat winner for myself. But Penn State won the rebound battle, and Michigan has been just clobbering teams on the glass all season long. And in each of their last 10 games prior to last night, Michigan had won by 18-plus points in all of them, 25-plus points in all but one of those games as well. So we had seen clean domination, and this is what we find a lot with these teams in January. They dominate in the non-conference play. Keep in mind what happened with UConn during their two title runs. They would just go through non-conference play. They would beat up on all these teams. And then right when they get to conference play, they have to play those true road games. These teams rise up against them. So I'm going to be very fascinated to see how Michigan bounces back a little bit more, because I thought that that was the most interesting result, and it very much fits the trend of what we've seen from the last few national title winners, where they start out very hot, they get a little bit cold in January, and then they heat up once again come March.
Yeah, makes sense. You still think they're the best team in the country, though?
Absolutely. You can't dock a team just because of one close result, and it wasn't even a loss. So I would say yes, you still have to go with Michigan at number one. But what Arizona and Iowa State do tonight, going to be very interesting as well.
Absolutely. And you have no play on either of those two games, by the way?
I did lay the points with Iowa State. I was seeing them at 4.5 overnight against Baylor. And I do feel like a lot of people are making too much out of these G League guys that are going out of these teams, as James Nnaji in his debut for Baylor, he had like 5 points and 4 rebounds. So there's that aspect of things. And then in the Arizona versus Kansas State game, I was seeing that total above 170. The Arizona defense, in my opinion, is too good for that total to be 170 plus. So took a shot on that under.
All right. Two bonus bets from Greg, because now it's time for Greg's Fab Five. Let's start with the Oklahoma game. What do you have in this one?
I'm looking at the under here. You have an Oklahoma team that has been rough in terms of guarding the three-point line, but I think that that'll improve as the season goes along. Last year, top 35 team in terms of their opponent's three-point shooting percentage. That Porter Moser's system is pretty good. And then you got a Mississippi State team that has just never shot it well from three under Chris Jans. They have never been inside the top 200 with regards to their three-point shooting percentage. I have an Oklahoma team as well that is pretty slow and controlled outside the top 190 in terms of total possessions per game. But while Oklahoma, 11th in the country in terms of points per possession, that falls by darn near 20 points per 100 possessions away from home. When Mississippi State has been really good, it's been thanks to low post play. So in this one, I do look at that total under, especially now that it's above 160 between these two, as I think you get a nip and tuck game.
What kind of system did you say Porter Moser had at Oklahoma? Never mind, don't answer that question. Under 159.5, Oklahoma, Mississippi State from Greg. That's the first of the Fab Five. Then Rice and Wichita State, also an under.
Yes, at Wichita State, slow and controlled system, much like Porter Moser and his system. At Wichita State, 282nd in terms of total possessions per game. And Rice, outside the top 335 in terms of points per possession away from home. They have not scored away from home. Wichita State doing a great job in terms of owning the glass. Now, I do think that 13.5 might be getting a little bit too high here. This is a Rice team that doesn't do the world's worst job in terms of guarding the perimeter. But, I mean, it's a Rice team that they've been a relatively mid-tempo team themselves. Feel like this total has just gone way too high with the way that Rice has performed with regards to outside shooting away from home. So, in on that under of 141.5, 142.5.
All right, Greg McDermott's Creighton squad taking on Villanova. You're taking Creighton with the points.
Yes, Creighton is doing the little things well. They're a top five team in terms of fewest free throw attempts allowed on a per possession basis. And in a tight spot, Villanova shooting less than 70% of the free throw line. That's a little bit of a concern. Creighton playing some better basketball. Even that loss over the weekend against Seton Hall, they were very much in that game. And for Villanova, they're allowing teams at home to shoot 40.9% from three-point range. Outside the top 335 in all of college basketball, so took the points here with Creighton.
UW and Purdue, a third under from you, Greg, an underfest.
Absolutely. Purdue outside the top 280 in terms of total possessions per game. And while Purdue leads the country in terms of points per possession, they've also been rock solid on defense at Washington, down one of their top scorers in Wesley Yates, and they have to do a lot of travel here, multiple time zones. I think that's going to affect them.
All right, and then taking the points against A.J. DeMonsa and BYU with the Sun Devils.
Yep, BYU, 28th in points per possession, 18th in points allowed per possession. Their defense has actually been more efficient, but Arizona State shooting 39.7% from three-point range away from home. Mo Odom, one of the most underrated guards in college basketball. Give me the points with Arizona State.
Greg Peterson, everybody. What's your cereal again? What is it?
We like Reese's Puffs.
We like Reese's Puffs. I like that it goes to the we. Thank you, Greg. Appreciate it as always. Great seeing you. Greg Peterson, everybody. Aaron Schatz, the creator of DVOA, next.